We're going to take up our Bibles now, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 22. And Fiona Robinson is going to come and read that to us. It's Luke chapter 22, verse 24.
Just a reminder, if you're not there, Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 30, and that's on page 1058. It's in the section entitled The Last Supper. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Well, I have to say, it is really good to be here this morning. You probably don't realise this to the extent that it's true, but Beeston Free Church has played a very significant part in the planting of the church in Enfield. Through Mike and Rachel, and then through Ed and Teresa, I feel like there's a real partnership. And although I don't know hardly anyone here, I'm very grateful to you guys for all that you've done in helping that church get established. And part of my reason for coming today is that Ed and Teresa obviously are just about to leave us. So we're now looking for the next couple that you're going to send to us to maintain that. Okay, we're going to look at this chapter in Luke 22. Let me just say, this is not... I often feel nervous when you go preach somewhere else that people think you've specifically chosen the passage because you've got a point to make at that church. This is just the chapter I'm preaching this afternoon. This is where we've got to. We've been working our way through Luke. We started 3 years ago, and we've been working our way through Luke as a church, and this is where we're up to. And so that's why we're looking at it. So let's pray together. Let's ask for God's help. Let's ask you to teach us. Father, we praise you for the gift of your Spirit. We praise you for the gift of your Word. And we pray this morning that you'd make us teachable, that you'd make us thirsty to listen to your Word. Please help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there's a ladder. And all of us are on it. And it stresses us out being on this ladder, but we can't get off. So the only thing that we can do is climb. We are desperate to move from low to high. We want to climb. Now, why is this? Why is it that in our lives, in all sorts of areas in our lives, we want to climb, we want to go up this ladder, whether it's in our careers, whether it's on the property ladder, whether it's in our sporting achievements, whatever it is, why is it we want to climb from low to high? What do we think is at the top? What is it about the top of the ladder that is so appealing to us that we spend our whole lives trying to get there? I'll tell you what it is. Because at the top of the ladder, we think there is greatness. At the top of the ladder, we think there is this elusive thing. It's almost like a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that you kind of know isn't there, and yet you really want to go and check. And so we spend our lives trying to climb up, 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 because we think that if we can get there, then we'll get greatness. And actually, we know we'll never get to the top, but the higher we can get, the greater we will be. The more people will look at us and say, wow, look at you. The more people will approve of us, and we are desperate for greatness. We're desperate for approval. Now, our world thinks like this. When we meet someone else, part of what we are thinking is, where are they on the ladder compared to me? Am I higher or lower than them? This is part of the way we judge things. We very quickly, do you know, even my 7-year-old boy, he's doing this already. I haven't taught him to do this, but it's deeply ingrained in us. He knows, my 7-year-old knows where he comes in his class, in the boys, for how fast he can run a length of the playground. He knows. He tells me, Joshua Emsley, he's faster than me. But Charlie, I'm faster than Charlie. And sometimes he comes home and say, oh, I beat Johnny today. And he's moved up a rung. His little face is so full of pride. And sometimes when they're trying to assess where they are in the pecking order, the boys, I love this when boys do this. It makes me laugh so much. They do their muscles and they say, have a look at your muscles. And they go, look at my muscle. And he comes to me and says, look at my muscle. And you have to say, don't you? Oh, it's amazing. It's really weird, isn't it? Why do we do that to kids? Why do we do that? Why don't we just say, actually, that's not very big? Why do we say, wow, you're so strong? Why do we do that? It's not true. It's a little pimple. And it's the only time when I feel like getting my muscles out and going, no, look. And never do that otherwise. But we want to, we have this desire within us to climb, to gain a position of greatness. And Jesus, oh, he's such an amazing teacher. Jesus knows it. So just look at this one question in verse 27. Get this. He so knows our hearts. Look at the question he asks in verse 27. Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Bang! In that question, Jesus exposes the whole premise on which our society is built. Who's greater? Who's higher up the ladder? You know who's higher up the ladder. It's the one who's sitting. That's where you want to get. And the whole movement of our society is from serving to sitting, from low to high to climb. The higher you are, the greater you are. Now, I don't know when you last climbed a ladder. I don't know much about when you were last climbing. Basically, climbing a ladder, it strikes me, is a pretty simple thing. Climbing a ladder, there's one key move. It's the reach and grab. That's the key move, I think, in climbing a ladder. So you reach up, you grab, and you pull up. And then you have a look, and you reach up, and you grab another one. And that is how human beings live. We live grabbing for things that we can pull ourselves up with. This was very beautifully stated by S Club 7, those great philosophers of our generation. They're a pop group, for those of you who don't know. Well, they were a pop group. They've now grown up, I think. But they sang this. They sang, reach for the stars. I won't sing, don't worry. Climb every mountain, although I'm holding myself back. I want you to know that. Climb every mountain high, reach for the stars, follow your heart's desire, reach for the stars, and when that rainbow's shining over you, that's when your dreams will all come true. Climb, reach, grab. We pursue greatness by grabbing. And you can trace this. This is cool. You can trace this right the way back through the history of humanity. Right the way back to the very first human beings who ever existed, who the Bible tells us were a man and a woman created by God, given everything that their hearts could desire, everything they could ever need to satisfy them and to fulfill them. And yet, what do? They reach out their hands and they grab the one thing God had told them they weren't allowed to have. Because they think that by grabbing this fruit, they think that they will be able to pull themselves up and make themselves greater. In fact, they think they will become like God. They grab. And ever since then, human beings have been reaching and grabbing and pulling themselves up. Reaching, grabbing, pulling themselves up. up towards God. And it would be easy. Look, it would be really easy for me this morning to point to all kinds of examples of sports stars and celebrities and all these kind of people who are doing this. And yet what I want to show you, the real shock, is that this morning we're not, in this bit in Luke's gospel, we're not talking about godless people. We're not talking about atheists. We're not talking about celebrities and those obsessed with fame. We're talking about Jesus' closest friends. In verse 24, a dispute arose among them, his disciples, those who've been with him for 3 years. They've listened to him, they've laughed with him, they've worked with him, they've watched him, they've seen how he has poured out his life for others. They've seen it. They love Jesus. And on this most significant night in the life of Jesus, the very night he's going to be betrayed, on the very next day, he's going to be crucified. And on this night, what are they talking about? They're talking about the ladder. It has such a stranglehold. This whole view of life is so deeply ingrained in the human heart that even at this most precious moment, the closest disciples of Jesus who really love him are arguing about who's the greatest. So can I say, if we don't think we're in danger this morning, we need to think again. We're dealing with an attitude that is so poisonous and so deeply ingrained within us that even the most passionate followers of Jesus are going to fight this and struggle this. So I want us to take some time to dissect this grabbing, that we pursue greatness by grabbing, because it lurks in our hearts. And it's going to look different for each one of us. We do it in different ways. So we need to allow Jesus to challenge our hearts this morning about this grabbing that is within us. And once we've looked at this and allowed Jesus to expose us, we're then going to look at Jesus and see how he tells us to pursue greatness. And it's pretty cool. But we need to allow Jesus to expose us. I've got about five different ways in which we grab for greatness. Okay, five different people. I've given them names because for some reason when I was preparing, I thought that would make it sound more friendly. So here's the first way that we grab for greatness. It's Harry, the high achiever. These are all entirely fictional, okay? No, Ben, any resemblance they bear to real people is entirely whatever they say. Harry, the high achiever. This is classic ladder climbing, okay? This is the high flyer. This is the sort of person who is gifted, sort of person who's either intelligent or they're sporty or they've got a great brain for business. They're the sort of people who just get on in life. So they work hard at school and they get good grades and then they get a good job. They achieve. And as they achieve, every achievement they make, they climb. They build up their certificates. They build up their qualifications. It could be in business. You start at the bottom and you begin to build a business and you do the rubbish jobs, but you work hard and all the time you're climbing because you're an achiever, you're a high flyer. This is what our children are being taught at the moment in schools, you know. Loads of our kids at the moment are doing exams, aren't they? Why should our kids bother with exams? Now, this is sensitive territory, but why should our kids do exams? The message from our world is you do exams because if you don't do exams, you're going to end up at the bottom of the heap. You do exams because if you do exams, you'll get good grades. If you get good grades, you can get a good job. If you get a good job, then you can climb. I want to show you that is a wrong attitude. That is not why you should work hard for your exams. You should work hard for your exams. Okay? Because I'm going to show you why. Jesus is going to show you why in a minute. But don't, whatever you do, don't work hard at your exams in order to climb. That's being Harry the Achiever. Harry the High Achiever. I heard someone described the other day as an underachiever. Isn't that a horrible phrase? What an awful thing. In fact, it was Rory McIlroy, the golfer. They said he's an underachiever. For all the talent he's got, he's an underachiever. I think he's about to change that, if you know golf at all. But But it's the sort of, when we describe someone as an underachiever, it means they've got so much potential, they just wasted it. So some of us, you are gifted, and you will pursue greatness by grabbing at achievement. And we do this in church. This happens in churches. We want to achieve. We want to work hard. There's an incredible verse in Ecclesiastes. Don't worry about turning there, but in Ecclesiastes 3, listen to this, right? This is an incredible verse. It's actually, Ecclesiastes 4. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he's looking at the world and he says this: I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. We want to achieve. Why do I want to achieve? Because I want to climb the ladder. I want to be better than my neighbor. It's like the 100-meter sprint. Why do people keep wanting to get faster and faster? Because you've got to get faster than the people around you. And it drives us. And some people are so driven by achievement that they will give anything. They'll sacrifice everything in order to achieve. Because that's the way you climb. Of course, the problem with that is that's hard work. And some people just can't be bothered with hard work. Some people think, can't be bothered with that. Must be an easier way to climb the ladder. Perhaps you're just a bit thick and you're not that clever. And you know you're never going to make much of your life that way. Well, there are other ways. So there's Harry the high achiever, there's Billy the bully. Because some people will climb the ladder through their own strength. It's the sort of person who's either physically strong, or it may be that they're strong in their personality. And they will just intimidate other people and bully them and push their way up the ladder that way. We've seen this happen, haven't we, in places? I don't know much about lions, but this, I think, is how it works in the lion world. You know, basically, the strongest is boss. I don't think it works on exam results. I don't think another one comes and says, look, I might be weak, but I've got 12 A-star GCSEs. And the big one just goes, get lost, I'm going to bite your nose off. And so he runs. And that seems to be this, that the strongest rise to the top. And some of us are going to pursue greatness that way, simply through intimidating and bullying others. Some of you may have a tendency to be like that. In your workplace, actually, you know the best way to move up is by attacking others, bullying others, making others scared of you. And this can happen in churches. We never put it like this, but we use our own influence in order to just intimidate other people so they're scared of us. And we gain influence and power and status for ourselves through the strength of our own personality. But some people aren't strong. So there's another way. So we've had Harry the high achiever, Billy the bully. There's Brenda the beautiful. Brenda the beautiful, she uses her beauty to rise to the top. See, it's undoubtedly true that if you are beautiful, if you are pretty in the world's eyes, you start higher up the ladder, don't you? You get a heads up. It's not like everyone starts. If you're physically pretty, you start off higher up the ladder in our society. Just because of the way you look. And some of us will say, well, if we're pretty, then we'll say, great, this is wonderful. This is a good way. This is a good way for me to move up. And so we'll become obsessed with the way we look and the way we dress, and we'll become obsessed with our figures and our muscles if we're men, and we'll become obsessed with our appearance, because that is a way to achieve greatness, because people will look at us and say, wow, you're gorgeous. And gorgeous equals great in our society. So perhaps some of us are being sucked into that kind of mindset, that greatness comes through being beautiful. But that might not be you either. You may be the sort of person who's got a lot of money. Now, again, money is an easy way to climb the ladder. You know, I got a friend who's a teacher in a primary school in Enfield. And it's a really rich school. You know, one of those really posh schools, you have to pay like £2 million a day to go. You know, that kind of thing. It's just phenomenal. You know, really, really privileged school. Really privileged kids. And one of the kids in his class, he said, they're all these kids are very, very similar, from very similar backgrounds, except for one. One of them, his dad is a painter-decorator. And 3 years ago, he won £28 million on the National Lottery. So now this kid went from being like painter decorator's son in a school with lots of other normal, lots of other people like him. Suddenly, he has been grabbed and raised up the ladder at super speed to a very high position. And actually doesn't fit. It's horrific for him, actually. This guy says it's horrible for him. But for some of us, we believe that the lie that money is the root to greatness. I've just got to get more money. That's what we're grabbing for. We're grabbing for more money. And the more money we can get any way we can, we'll achieve greatness. Okay, here's my fifth one, all right? We're doing well. The fifth one is Deirdre, the do-gooder. And she does loads of good things. She does loads and loads of good things. But the thing is, she does them in order to climb the ladder. So she's really nice. She's really, really kind. She cooks meals for people. She goes visits people. She set up a little charity in her name called the Deirdre Foundation. And she does all kinds of nice things for people. But all the time, the thing that's driving her is, this is my way to climb. Because people are impressed with me. And now I've got this position of power and status because people say, oh, Deirdre, she's great. Do you know Deirdre? She's lovely. This is the weird thing about the ladder. You can climb the ladder by being really, really mean or by being really, really nice. It just depends what takes your fancy. I think this is the kind of people that Jesus has in mind in verse 25. So look, I've said all that stuff. Now let's just look at what Jesus says in verse 25. Jesus said to his disciples who are arguing, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. There's the bullies. That's what we've just been talking about. They use their power, their position to lord it, to harshly treat those under them. And those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. We are here for your good. Look at us. Aren't we good? Aren't we kind? We are here for the benefit of mankind. That's Deirdre the do-gooder. And Jesus has already attacked this kind of almost religious hypocrisy that he's seen in the world. He said to religious leaders back in Luke 11, you're like a bowl that's clean on the outside, but inside you're full of wickedness and greed. And Jesus says, I'm not fooled. I'm not fooled by people who do good just to climb. That's pursuing greatness. See, there are all sorts of ways to climb. And I don't know which your particular method is, but deeply ingrained within us, there is something. Now, none of those things are bad in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with being intelligent. There's nothing wrong with being a high achiever. There's nothing wrong with being strong or being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with doing good. There's nothing wrong with being beautiful. But there's something very wrong with using those to climb the ladder. If you live your life grabbing up the ladder, what's your life going to be like? Think about it. What's it going to be like? What impact does it have on this group of close friends? They fight. They argue. They dispute. It produces competition and insecurity. Isn't that true? If my whole life is built on achieving, grabbing and achieving, what happens when someone cleverer than me comes? What happens to everything in my life? It collapses. What happens if someone more beautiful than me comes? I am filled with jealousy and envy at their beauty, and I cannot cope with it, and I hate them for it, and it screws me up, and it messes them up, and it's horrible. What happens when someone who is richer than me comes along? You see this? Total insecurity. I hate to say it, right, but none of you will ever reach the top of the ladder in any of those areas. You're never going to be the highest achiever. You're never going to be the most beautiful. You're never going to be the richest. You're never going to be the strongest. And therefore, you are living your life doomed to fail. And all we do is we live and we get as high as we can, then we die. And that's it. Now, Jesus says, look, come on. He wants to smash that thinking apart. So look what he says in verse 26. You are not to be like that. So in my basic ladder climbing manual, it is you reach up and you grab and you pull yourself up to go up. How do you go down? You can play if you want. You can talk. How do you get down? You let go. You let go, you'll go down quickly. And that is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. He says, don't pursue greatness by grabbing hold. He says, pursue greatness by letting go. You let go. And as you let go, you will discover true greatness. Look what he says, verse 26. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. He's not, look at it carefully, be really careful, because we can get this wrong. He's not saying that the youngest are the greatest. He's not saying the youngest are the greatest. He's saying that the greatest among you, those who are in positions of influence, don't use your greatness to grab at status. Let it go. Let the position that you're grabbing for go. Or those of you who rule. He doesn't say stop ruling. He says, don't shirk the responsibility. Keep the responsibility, but let go of the position and the status and the prestige that that position brings. Let that go and become like one who serves. Let it go. This is so massive. In fact, look, this is Jesus, okay? This is Jesus. This is so stunning. Jesus says, verse 27, who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Okay, check this out. If you've fallen asleep, please wake up now. This is the most important, okay, this is it. This is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. Jesus, who from all eternity past has been the powerful Son of God, he did not grab at the position that was rightly his. He let it go in order that he might die on a cross in weakness. Jesus, who from all eternity past is the beautiful Son of God, with more beauty than any other being in the whole of creation, Jesus, the beautiful Son of God, did not grab hold of the position that was rightly his. He let go of that position in order to come down to die on a cross in ugliness and horror and shame. Jesus, who from all eternity past has all wealth and all honor belong to him. He did not grab hold of the position that rightly belonged to him, but he let it go and he emptied himself and he came down to die on a cross in poverty and nakedness. Jesus, who from all eternity past is the source of all wisdom and intelligence and knowledge, did not grasp hold of the position that was rightly his, but he let it go and he came down to die on a cross in what appears to the world to be utter foolishness. Do you see? Jesus let it go. And he let go of all of that in order to serve us. Jesus came down the ladder to save you. He came to save us. He came to save us from this grabbing and fighting that we spend our lives doing. He came to save us from the punishment that our grabbing deserves. He died taking the punishment I deserve. He served me in the greatest way anyone could ever serve me. He saved my life. Did you realize that? Have you realized who Jesus is? Have you realized the greatness of Jesus? Have you realized what Jesus let go of? Have you ever considered what it cost Jesus to let go of all of that because he wanted you? You turn to him? You trust in him? Have you asked him to save you? Today he says to you, let go. Let go of your ladder. Let go of your climbing. Trust me. Take hold of my hand and follow me. I love you. I died for you. I died to save you. I want to save you now. And maybe you've been coming to church for weeks and weeks and you've heard about Jesus and you know this stuff, but you've never really trusted him. And today he says, come on, let go. Come follow me. Come trust me. You do that today? And if we are following him, Jesus says, now come live like me. So listen, he wants to speak to you, you who are high achievers, you who are intelligent, you who are high flyers in this world. He wants to speak to you and he wants to say to you, don't use your intelligence to climb. Don't use your high position to climb the ladder. He doesn't want you to pretend you're thick. He doesn't want to say, okay, I'm not going to do any work. I'm not going to do any exams. He says, use your intelligence. Study as hard as you can. Work as hard as you can for the glory of God. Work as hard as you can to serve and use it to serve others. Look, maybe some of you are brilliant at languages. Then use that. Use that intelligence God has given you. Study. Study those. Get the best qualifications you can. And then let go of the position that could rightly be yours and go. Go to China. Go to China and tell them about Jesus. Go to Outer Mongolia. Tell them about Jesus. He's not saying don't achieve. He's saying use your achievements to serve, not to grab. Let go of the position that could be yours and serve. If you're a brilliant businessman, he's not saying to you don't make money. Jesus wants you to use the gift he's given you. If you're a brilliant businessman, make as much money as you can. Achieve as much as you can in business, but don't grab at the position that that will give you. Use the money. Much better that if you're a Christian, much better you get all the money because you can use it wisely to serve others. Earn as much money as you can, then give it away. That's greatness. You let go. This is what Jesus says life is all about. It's wonderful. So Jesus says to, okay, so those of us who by nature might be bullies, who might be strong, Jesus says to us, he doesn't say kind of I'll just become all weak and girly. He doesn't say that. He says use your strength to serve others. Don't crush others. Use your strength to defend the weak. Fight on behalf of those who can't fight for themselves. Don't grab a position for yourself. Instead, be helping others who are downtrodden. Work for them. You get that? He says to those of us who are beautiful, he says, you may be beautiful. Jesus isn't saying to you, kind of make yourself ugly. Go and have plastic surgery so that you look really ugly now. He's not saying that. But he's saying, don't use your beauty to grab. Instead, think of how you can serve others. Think of the ways in which you can build others up. Think of the ways in which you can help others. Think of the way in which you dress, the way in which you live, the way in which you spend your money. Don't make all your money about grabbing at greatness. Instead, do it for others. If you're a woman who's beautiful, demonstrate the inner beauty of loving Jesus to other women so that they might not simply see your outer beauty, but love your inner beauty and say, I want to be like that. That's serving others. And sometimes we do each other real harm by the way that we grab at beauty and we want to just make ourselves look beautiful. And then others just feel crushed by it. That's not serving others. You may be a wealthy person. I've already talked a bit about this. That's fine. Get loads of money and then give it away. Done that one. And you may be like Deirdre the do-gooder. You may be a caring sort of person. You may be the sort of person who empathizes with others. And Jesus says that's wonderful. Do that. But don't do it for your glory of yourself. Don't do it to climb. Do it to serve. That's true greatness. Let go. I don't know what it is that you are grabbing hold of that Jesus says, let go. Let go. Let go of your ambitions. Let go of those selfish ladder-climbing ambitions and make it your ambition to serve. To find ways to take what God has given you and to pour out your life for others. It's going to be costly. But this passage, this section ends, and I haven't got much time, I don't think I've got any time really, but this section ends with this amazing twist, okay? Amazing twist at the end, and this is kind of blows your mind at the end of the section. It kind of sneaks up and catches you off guard. Because Jesus says that to those who followed him, look at verse 28, you are those who've stood by me in my trials. So those who stand with Jesus, those who follow Jesus and trust him and cling to him and love him and are forgiven by him and follow him, look what he says, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is so weird, right? Because if you pursue greatness, you will end up in the highest position imaginable. You will end up sitting at the table of Jesus, eating with him in his kingdom, in the eternal kingdom of God. You will sit in a position where you will rule on a throne with him. This is very clear in other parts of the Bible that Jesus shares responsibility for ruling with his people. We sit on thrones with Jesus, ruling with him, the new creation. This is what we were created for, and you end up in that position. But the problem is, it's not at the top of a ladder. You can't climb there. This is only something which is, this is a gift, not something you earn. This is something which is given to you, not something that you climb to. Jesus gives this position to those who've trusted him, to those who've been forgiven, and to those who've lived with him. And you know what? At that table, there will be professors, and there'll be prostitutes at that table. At that table, there will be rich, and there will be poor. There will be intelligent, and there will be less intelligent. There will be people from every single position in society, because it's not about how high you've climbed, it's about whether you're following Jesus. And if climbing the ladder leads to despair and frustration and ultimate failure, letting go, leads to an eternity of joy in the highest position imaginable. If you let go of the position that you are desperately trying to climb to, in eternity you will look back and say, what was I even bothered about? We'll laugh at the little ladders. Do you remember that little ladder we tried to climb? What was that about? And if we, in eternity, my guess is we'll be saying, I wish I'd served more. I wish I'd let go of more. I wish I hadn't grabbed hold of the nice house and the nice car and the iPad and everything that this world says you need to be great. I wish I'd just let it all go, because one day I'm going to sit with Jesus. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but I've got to say, this challenges me like crazy. And we've got to pray that we wouldn't just forget this, but actually there'd be very real things that we can do, that we can let go of. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing together. But this is something that we need to take to heart. We need to allow Jesus to teach us. This is true greatness. And there's an excitement in this, as well as a challenge. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess that within our hearts we find this desperate desire to climb and to grab for ourselves. And we're sorry. And we humble ourselves and we worship you, Father, that you would love us so much that you would send Jesus down, down, down. Jesus, we worship you that you would let go of all that is rightly yours. That you did not grasp at equality with God. You did not grab hold of a position that you could rightly have claimed. You let it go in order to come and die to save us. Lord Jesus, we praise you for all you've done for us, and we want to follow you, we want to trust you, and we want to pray that you'd make us the kind of people, the kind of church who let go of position and status and power in order to use what we have to serve, to let go and to serve. Oh, Father, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.